From all this depressing talk about college coaches, guys getting fired, and better jobs, let's go to the NBA where things are good. Miami Heat at 9-8, back in action tonight against Atlanta. Ira Winderman joins us this morning. Ira, how you doing?
I'm doing good, but they're only 9-8. What about Spo? Does Spo deserve this?
Oh, God. Spo's the least of the problems going on in town right now. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I think the Joe Philbin bandwagon's getting a little stronger, so I think he's safe. Panthers coming off a win against Detroit. I think it all points to one place, really, Joe.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's that place a little south of where the Miami Heat are playing right now. Hey, let's get into it all. Sure. All right, so Dwayne Wade comes back, got a 27-point, looked great in the fourth quarter against New York, comes back with 20, even though the team doesn't look very good against Washington. What do you thought about Dwayne Wade's two games coming back to this team?
I think, Joe, they were encouraging on a couple of levels. Not only did he put the performance together, he did it in a back-to-back. Honestly, the fact that he showed up for a back-to-back with Dwayne is always a good sign. But I think the rest of it, what it shows you is the lack of continuity. Dwayne out for 7 games, Dwayne back for 2 games. Josh McRoberts trying to find his way, Birdman being out, Norris Cole being uneven. You know, you're a month into it, and this Heat team, it's almost like it's training camp, Joe,
yeah,
where they're still trying to find themselves. That's what happens when you add so many new players. That's what happens when you add so many young players.
Which inconsistent guy needs to become more stable, more consistent for this group?
Well, I'd almost put it back to you in the form of a question and ask, why is Norris Cole still starting? I mean, when you look at the Heat point guard play, and you look at Shabazz Napier, and you look at Mario Chalmers and what he's done, and when you look at the last couple of games and realize how much of a facilitator Dwayne is, he really advanced the ball just about every possession he was on the court. I think you look at that starting lineup and you say to yourself, hey, you gave Norris Cole the chance. He had 23 points in the first game. Really hasn't been seen since the first game. Joe, I wonder how much longer this experiment continues.
How do they feel? Do we have any idea? Like, how's Norris doing with everything? And what's his thought? Has anybody talked to Norris to see?
You know, he's a generally upbeat kid. He works hard. There's no question about that.
Right.
He came to camp in the best shape of anyone. Eric Spoelstra decided that, hey, this is my way to get Mario Chalmers as my backup two guard because this team does not have one otherwise. The Shannon Brown experiment failed. But I'm not so sure you start one player just because you're trying to play another player in a swing guard type of role. Clearly, they feel it's a little bit too early for Napier to come in. You want the three-point shooting in the starting lineup. But I think, Joe, that's the reason there's a lack of stability. That's the reason you're only one game over 500. And I have a feeling, with everything worked out, I haven't even seen Danny Granger yet, that this might continue on sort of this rocky road, probably into the turn of the year before Eric Spoelstra knows who can do what on this team.
Wow, that's a tough way to go. What's been your take on Lou Alding so far?
Yeah, that's a good name, and I think I don't want to say he's been given a scholarship because on one hand he's brought in. Everyone says Lou Alding is a complimentary player. Lou Alding plays well off of others. On the other hand, he was brought in at that $10 million contract just about for this year. So you expect a little more. I put it this way, Joe. He's a complimentary player who plays off the skills of others. He needs Dwayne Wade out there so when he makes his cuts off the ball, a facilitator like Dwayne can find him. I think he'll play very well alongside Josh McRoberts, who's good at finding players off the ball. And I'm almost wondering if it might be time for Josh McRoberts just to get in the starting lineup because, like I said, you got to get to where you're going. And if you sign Josh McRoberts for 4 years, he's a part of the future. Put him in the starting lineup. Thank you, Sean Williams, for all the threes you've shot. But get to who you are. Put one more piece in Josh McRoberts, then you can figure out point guard. Because if you have a facilitator like Dwayne, a facilitator like McRoberts, you probably don't need as much of a true facilitator at point guard.
All right, so all this talk when this team was being put together and Danny Granger, we're going to get the old Danny Granger, he's going to be back, and he teased us a little bit in some of the practice games, hitting some stuff, and everybody, oh, with Danny. So far, no Danny Granger. What's going on there? What's the word?
No, I mean, Danny Granger, if you want to see him, basically come 20 minutes before the game, that's when you get to see him. And we asked Eric Spoelstra last week, and on one hand, he says, no, Danny's very much a part of my thoughts. On the other hand, I want to give him time to get back. The hardest thing for a player is to rehab and play at the same time. We tried that in the preseason, early in the season. It didn't work. The real question is this, Joe. Is Danny Granger on the Greg Oden / Mike Miller long-term rehab plan?
Yeah.
Or is he on the Michael Beasley just doesn't fit quite right right now kind of plan? And Eric won't put it one way or the other. I tend to think that Danny's probably not ready, and that's a huge red flag for a guy who missed all the time with the knee in Indiana, a guy who missed the time at the end of last season, and then had surgery with the hamstring. Is he ready? Can he contribute? Joe, I look at this roster. They need Danny Granger. Like Dwayne Wade pointed out, last two games, even with the win in New York, the scoring totals are low. I know Eric Spoelstra talks about defense, but this team needs offensive consistency as well.
Yeah. I just looked at that one. What's he played in two games? Danny Granger?
Yeah, one game he started. And one game, his last appearance, he was a starter. Well, his second to last appearance in Brooklyn when they were down, when Dwayne was out and Luau was out, and they actually won that game, although Danny wasn't that great. But you sort of want to see it. Again, Joe, I want to see who this team is. All I know is right now this is a seventh-place team in the Eastern Conference, and that's not a spot you want to be going into the playoffs. And there are those who honestly believe at 20 games into the NBA schedule, you know who you are.
Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting moving ahead to see. Hey, by the way, what was your take on Gabrielle Union coming to Dwayne Wade's interview the other night? A lot of people were chuckling. Others were going, oh, man, I wonder if that continues, how Dwayne's going to take that. What'd you think of the whole thing?
I thought it was awesome. First of all, anyone
I cracked up. I thought we got a good laugh up in New York. We thought it was pretty funny.
She was an athlete in Nebraska. I mean, she's a sports wife. She knows it. Like Dwayne says, I live in a sports house, so he recognizes it. I think she did it well. She did it lovingly. It was fun. You know what, Joe? This team needs a little more of that. There haven't been as many photo bombs because there haven't video bombs because there haven't been as many wins. You know what? If Dwayne was fine with it, I have no issue. And you know what? On the other side, look back to the torment he went through in his first marriage. It's been so well chronicled down here.
Yeah.
That if he can have a lighthearted moment in his second marriage and be happy, then I think people should be happy for him too. And you know what? I'm glad she admonished him about his free throw shooting so I didn't have to do it after the game.
We'll talk.
I could just
yeah.
go in the locker room in the garden and go, hey, Dwayne, what Gabby said. Make some free throws, guys.
Yeah, that was pretty entertaining, and I thought it was pretty funny. And Dwayne and Jax and the way he handled it was great stuff. Hey, real quickly, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is. I know they're playing. I guess they're playing all their best players that they have. They're just not very good. Do you think they take a look at this whole thing with the draft now? Maybe.
I think. Tanking in the NBA is like no other sport. I mean, even I'm watching the NFL games this weekend. I'm watching a team like the Giants try to win against Jacksonville when they have no reason to try to win, and Jacksonville winning when it doesn't benefit them at all. In football, there's a certain pride. You only play 16 games. You're going to go out. Even in the last game, we've seen this, Joe, where teams can get a top pick, but they play to win instead. That's the pride factor that's missing in the NBA, and I do think they have to jumble it up. Even though the top seed in the lottery only 25% of the time winds up with the top pick anyway. But I got to tell you, I look at Philadelphia, and I see what they have with Noel. I see what they have with Michael Carter-Williams. We know Joel Embiid is going to miss this season. They have this kid in Europe who is MVP of Europe for the month, Dario Saric, who is really good also. They have a really good future. And you know what, Joe? It sounds wrong, but they're probably doing it the right way. And Philadelphia, 3 years from now, is going to be really, really, really good. The problem is they're charging for tickets right now.
Yeah, I agree. That's
and
a big problem, man.
But you know what? In the NBA, there's two ways to do it. To go to the bottom and come back to the top. Basically, that's what the former Seattle Supersonics, current Oklahoma City Thunder did when they drafted Durant, when they drafted Westbrook, when they drafted Harden. That's one way to do it. The other way is like the Heat in Dallas and trying to stay relevant throughout, and that's a lot more difficult. Philly is going to be good because of what they're doing. The unfortunate part is what they're putting on the court right now, and I do think there needs to be a degree of lottery reform because clearly they're playing for the number one pick and probably Okafor from Duke and adding him to their mix as well.
I just think losing all those friggin' games is just really – I don't know how you sell it to those fans who I guess are still paying pretty good bucks. I don't – you know, you don't get a cheap seat. Everything's expensive in the NBA. That's a tough one to sell to come out and watch unless – you're just promoting everybody else's team.
You know what, Joe? I've been to their games. They're bringing their legends back. Billy Cunningham, Julius Irving. They put them there.
Can they play?
Hot dogs. They probably would be better. Julius and Billy at their age is probably better than what they're offering right now.
Oh, man.
But you know what? I think the fans there are smart enough to realize that unlike some of the middling teams in the NBA who go nowhere, they really do have a future there also. For now, in November and December, they can sell it. I do think it's going to get old in a hurry come March and April.
You know what's shocking, too? Just looking at the standings in the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, the eight spot, Phoenix, is 11-8, and they've got already like six teams with at least 14 wins. And you look at the East, and just it's incredible the difference. I mean, it's not the first year.
Well, and there's two factors there, Joe. Every West team that has come East, Golden State came East and had a five-game winning streak. Phoenix was 500, came East, put four together. The Lakers, who couldn't win a game in the West, come East. All of a sudden now they're getting healthier with their record, beat up on Detroit last night. They're getting on a little roll. That's why the Heat schedule is daunting. The Heat still has those two big West Coast trips coming. Like you mentioned this weekend, you know, not only a big game tonight against Atlanta, but playing in Memphis on Sunday. That's why you have to pad your record and why the Heat should regret their losses to Charlotte and Milwaukee, because then you look at an upcoming trip where you have a Phoenix, where you have Denver on the second night of a back-to-back, and you have Memphis. When East teams go West, they go West to die. When West teams come East, it's like hot springs. It's like, you know, they go to Lourdes and they get healthy again. And that's the thing. The 7 and 8 teams in the East will be really bad, because right now there's probably 4 or 5 teams in the East whose seasons are done, between Philadelphia and Boston and Orlando and the teams at the bottom there. They're just about done and out of the playoff race already. Yeah, the imbalance is something. You better win your East games, because your West games you're going to pay. Look at the Heat. Lose at home to Houston.
Yeah.
Lose at home to the Clippers. Lose at home to the Warriors. It's like two different leagues.
Hey, real quickly before I let you go, did you think New York was going to be this bad, 4-15, or did you think they're going to be sniffing an 8 spot?
No, I thought they'd be this bad. I think Phil Jackson is in the unbelievable cash grab where he said, sure, you want to buy my name, give me $15 million, put any kind of crap you want on the floor in the first place.
Oh.
The fact is, when Amari Stoudemire is reemerging as their second-best player and has to be a starter again, and Carmelo really is the Kobe of the East, just searching for his points, not worrying as much about the overall record, didn't go for winning, didn't sign in Dallas or Chicago, that's a horrible team and a horrible product they're putting together. But they know. It's like at the Staples with the Lakers. They know people still want to be seen and be seen, you know, at the arena there. So they'll show up, and they have a loyal fan base. The Knicks are horrible. They're playing a triangle system without the players to play the triangle. And Phil is sitting there and smirking to the tune of $15 million a year.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, hey, Ira, good talking to you. You take care. You've been playing tennis on me?
I'll be out there again if the courts are dry, so I'll catch you sometime this week, Joe.
All right, Ira. Thank you very much.
See you, buddy.
Do our tennis business on the air. Good stuff this morning.